I'm going to talk about journey and I'm going to talk about destination today. But I want to start by saying the destination is a lie. Keep that in mind. So we're born for some unknown reason. A lot of things we think is the reason, but who knows? And when we're born, we're everything, and everything is us. And I thought to myself, that's such a wonderful place to be. Everything and everything is us. But it's not functional. It doesn't work. Because in order for our life to work, we have to be separate from it. And that's why there's a little dis-ease in being somebody. Ram Dass said in the first half of our life, we're in the process of becoming somebody. And in the second half of our life, we're becoming nobody. Oh. And maybe one of the reasons we want to become nobody is nobody dies well. So mom is there, you know, and we don't know it's mom. We just know the universe is caressing us, taking away our pain and suffering. And then one day, mom shows up. Mom is separate from us. It's an amazing event. Now there's two in the world, you and mom. And then a little later, dad comes in. And now you got three. And mom is teaching you how to be you. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to do it. You got to eat with a fork. You can't eat with your hands. But mom, it's so much fun to eat with my hands. No, we need to socialize you. And about the age of two, you start to realize you just can't go to the bathroom anytime you want. There are rules, and there are places. And you have to learn the rules and find the places. And that's okay, because it's easier to get along with other people if you're not all pooping at the same time. Then one day, mom says, you need to learn. What do I need to learn, mom? You need to learn everything. We're going to take you to school. I hated school. I didn't want to go to school. I wanted to stay with mom. And mom drove me to kindergarten, took me to the front door, and left me. Abandoned me. And I had to go into this room with a bunch of people I didn't know, all my age. I didn't have anything to talk about. I only talked to mom. So that's how it began. And then we get even a bigger school and a better school and more stuff to learn, and we start to dissect the world into 1,000 parts and 1,000,000 parts, and we get a language, and we have a vocabulary, and every time we say a word, we're separate from it. If I say the word chair, I can never be the chair. It's always out there. And I'm going, wow, this is so uncomfortable to have to be me. And then, after high school, mom says, have you ever thought about leaving? And I'm going, man, no, I didn't think about that, mom. Well, at some point in your life, you have to leave. And so I left. And I got a job. And then I had other things to learn. How to be a good employee. How to know what a boss is, how to appreciate the boss, how to be a good worker. And then there's politics, and then there's relationship, and there's so much to learn and so much to do. And I kept learning and doing, and the journey got more and more complicated all the time. And you know what? It never got better. It only got different. And that was a bummer. So then the second journey started, the spiritual journey. And I think at some point in our life, we get to that place where, because it's not getting better, and you realize it never will get better, that maybe spirituality holds the key. Maybe if I learn that, if I go on that journey, it'll make my life different. So at 28, I got a book, The World Religions. I was a non-theist. I was a non-religious. I was happy. I was secular. I knew what to do and how to do it. But you know what? That's so limited. And being spiritual means it opens the door to everything. So I got the book. I started to read. I found a meditation center. I started to do all this kind of stuff. And what I became aware of was morality. One of the journeys we all have to take sooner or later is to become moral. It seems a lot of people don't take that journey, but most of us but most of us do. And so I used the five precepts as the beginning of my moral journey. Not to kill, not to steal, no sexual misconduct, not to lie, not to consume intoxicants. Well, maybe not to consume intoxicants to the point of intoxication. That might be good enough. I ain't drunk, I just been drinking. And this moral code sort of allowed you to look at the world a little differently. You started to see the advantage of being good. Now, in Buddhism, and this may come as a shock if you don't know about Buddhism, we don't have God. We're non-theistic. But if we did have God, we'd spell it differently. We'd spell it G-O-O-D. And that would be a way of relating and contacting and connecting with the world in a skillful way. So these skill levels, this skill set that we acquire through understanding morality allows us to be integrated into the greater community without fear. Fear from the other. So if you're practicing those five precepts and move in to the neighborhood next to somebody, they should feel relieved because you're not going to do those five things to them. And that's a good thing. We can do a lot of other things, but we don't have to do those things. So now we're on the second journey of our life. We're combining the secular with the spiritual. And son of a gun, things start to becoming better. We're getting to a place where we stopped with the secular, added the spiritual, and now we're on the journey again. We're going to see how we're going to be in a variety of situations. We're going to see if our skill set is useful and workable. And there you go. And you start to meditate, perhaps. Or you start to pray, perhaps. And in meditation, the idea is to transcend self. Transcend the I am just for a few moments. Just to sort of reconnect to that place that's spiritual and everything. Now, if you've ever been something and experienced everything, it changes you completely. I like to call enlightenment the direct experience of the interconnectedness and interdependence of all phenomena. Now, when you hear that the first time, it makes no sense at all. What the heck is Kusala talking about? But there's something that happens when you connect to everything. Now, we don't want to call it by a word or a name, because it's never the word and it's never the name. The word is just a representation for something that can be experienced but not understood, can't be intellectualized. It's a direct experience. And if you've ever had that, it's marvelous. Say it's a moonlit night, you're on Santa Monica Beach. You don't want to go in the water because it's polluted, but you're on the beach. And you're walking around with a good friend, and all of a sudden, everything dissolves into this present moment experience. No past, no future. All your sense doors are heightened. You can almost feel the moon glow on you. And then it goes away. It was just a moment. It was timeless. How long does a moment last? It lasts as long as it lasts. You can't keep track of those moments, but you had one. And now you wonder, what's wrong with me? Am I getting the flu? What just happened? Because it was so good and so impersonal that it felt like freedom. It felt like freedom. Now, people want to be free, but generally speaking, when people want to be free, they want to be free to do what they want to do. This is a different kind of freedom. This is a freedom from having to be who you think you are, or who they think you are. This is the kind of freedom that allows you to just be, allows you to just do, without any words or symbols, just to be, just for a few moments. I posted something today on my Facebook page about a porch. A porch is the best place you can do nothing, and it's okay. And we have a porch at the meditation center, and I like just sitting on the porch and watching the traffic go by and the people walking by. And we have a lot of people walking dogs in our neighborhood, and they're just walking the dogs. And I'm thinking, well, isn't that so cool that I get to hear the sounds of people talking and watching dogs and the cars go by? And here I am in this porch, and I'm outside. Nobody likes to go outside anymore, but I'm outside, and I'm just going, wow, this is neat. And that just changes my whole perspective for a while. That, yeah, there's a lot going on that I'm not even aware of, and that's cool. I'm happy in some cases that I'm not aware, but other cases it's nice to know that the good stuff happens too. So here I am on my second journey, and I say to myself, well, what is the destination of this journey? Because the secular journey ended in disappointment. You could only go so far. And I don't care how much money you had or what kind of car you drove or how big your house was. Happiness is an inside job. All that other stuff doesn't make you happy. It just gives you something to do. I gotta wash the car. Oh no, the engine light's on. What am I gonna do now? My engine light has been on for 7 months. My car has never driven better. I'm not getting it fixed. In the old days, before we had engine lights, you didn't know something was wrong. It just ran good. You know, now they want to warn you. Something may happen. Oh, no. Casey. So here we are. We're on the second journey. We've added a little spirituality. Okay, cool. And when we did that, we also added a little empathy, a little kindness, a little wisdom. And that changed you forever. Because now you see things with your heart and not just with your intellect. That's the journey. The journey is to find your humanity. You were born human. What does that mean? It means you have the opportunity to be kind. I don't know if you've watched the animal shows on TV, nature shows. Can't watch them anymore. I can't watch them anymore. They're beautiful animals. I used to love watching them. Now they eat each other. That's all I see. You got 5 minutes of running around and joyful playing, and then you have a half hour of killing and eating. And I'm going, wow, I can't go fishing anymore. Fish, it said, feel pain for 22 minutes after they're pulled from the water. And people say fishing is such a wonderful experience. Let's go out and kill some fish today. It's a beautiful day. So when you add the humanity to your skill set, what you start to see is there's a lot of stuff that you're not going to do anymore. And it's okay. You know, vegetarian, that's good. Meat, that's good. But don't kill the cow. You know, people say, well, Kusla, you're a monk. Where do you get your meat from? I said, Vons. That's where you get your meat from. And now, when I watch those cowboy movies and they're herding the cows, I never figured out where the cows were going. Now I know. And I'm sad. I don't want to be a cowboy anymore. This looks like a terrible way to make a living. So here we are, and we're on our second journey, and we've added some kindness and some insight and some wisdom. And you might wonder, okay, what's the destination of that? Is it bright lights and tingly feelings? Is that what's going to happen to me at the end of my spiritual journey? Will I see visions? Will that happen to me at the end of my spiritual journey? No, I tell you what might happen, most likely to happen. You may not even appreciate it, but it's going to happen. What's going to happen is you will find underneath all your reality, everything is connected. You've always been part of everything, and everything's always been part of you. You have never stood alone or apart. And when the Buddha said, we do not have a self, what he was saying is we are never independent. And the idea of self and personality is to keep us separate, because that's how we live in the world. If I am one with the door, I can never leave this room. Which wouldn't be a bad thing, but eventually I'd have to find lunch someplace. So we need to be separate, and that causes us a lot of suffering and dis-ease, but we know we have the possibility of being reconnected in our spiritual practices and can appreciate the wholeness of life. Now, the problem with this, according to Buddhism, we're always in a constant state of becoming something else. There's no permanence. There's no situation that doesn't change. And in a lot of cases, that's a good thing. We're happy that a lot of situations change because they cause a lot of suffering in the world. But we're unhappy when we're experiencing something and it's going to end, like going to Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. And at 10 o'clock, they say, everybody needs to go home now. No. You mean I have to leave the happiest place on earth? Yes, you do, because none of us here are happy. I know I'll be getting those emails after that. So don't get attached. Don't get connected in an unskillful way. Realize you're always connected. And that is the reason everything changes, because it's called growth. Growth enables everything to happen because everything changes. So I would say, to you, all the people in the audience with gray hair, I would say to you, you're not getting older, you're just growing. So let's all grow together and find our kindness and our generosity and our wisdom. Thank you for listening.